Welcome to the Podcast Podcast.
Podcast Podcast, the podcast about podcasting.
True Story FM. I'm Pete Wright.
I'm Andy Nelson.
Today we're talking about the value of small. You know something about that. There's just so much noise in the podcasting business about giant audiences, right? And reaching all the people that you need to reach. And podcasting can be huge. And podcasting can be huge. That's absolutely true. It can be stunningly big in terms of, you know, creating media properties. But I often think there's something that gets lost in that discussion. And I wanted to talk for a bit today about what gets lost when you're focusing on more downloads versus finding the right downloads. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I think it's an interesting element that certainly is true in the world of podcasting, because it is an industry where there are so many different types of shows and so many conversations happening in the space that really, you're not going to jump in and immediately be the next Joe Rogan. And it's the idea of coming into a podcast and aiming for that is not really, you know, it's a hard road hoe to try to all of a sudden just jump in and be that.
Yeah.
And really the focus should be is figuring out what your niche is. And instead of having a big, broad topic for your show, focus on something that's really specific that really you can speak to. It aligns with your interests, what you're an expert at and what you're passionate about. And by focusing on that, you're going to build, again, it may not be the Joe Rogan size audience, but you're going to build a very dedicated, very engaged audience that is really interested in what you have to say.
Truly. And I found this article that Adam Shepard wrote this article for PodPod, and it has this really interesting passage in it. And I just allow me to read for a moment. He says, quote, "Lower listener numbers don't have to be a barrier to commercialization. As Media Voices' Esther Thorpe notes, despite garnering around 250 listens per episode, DC Thompson's Energy Voice Out Loud podcast was on track to make around six figures in revenue earlier this year, according to former head of podcasts Chris Finn. It was able to do this by leveraging not its size and scale, but the depth of its engagement. Energy Voice is a niche B2B title, and its audience, while comparatively small, is both highly committed and extremely valuable." Right? That
wow.
is, you know, on that side of the spectrum, right? An incredibly profitable show with such large or small download numbers is the exact opposite of the Joe Rogan experience, right? Massive download numbers to reach that kind of profitability. But we're really talking about the broad spectrum of possibility on the podcasting space, right? This is an example. And since most shows have fewer than 10,000, you know, subscribers, most shows are comparably small. They aren't going to achieve the smartless downloads of millions per episode. They're just not going to get there. So how do you engage the audience, and how do you celebrate the fact that one listen or five listens or 250 listens can be valuable to your business? How do you make that turn and stop focusing so much on the value of your podcast being tied to total downloads? Because I don't think total downloads are necessarily relevant to the value that a podcast can bring to your ideas, to your business.
What's interesting also is by actually having a narrower focus and focusing on this niche. Niche topic that you're focusing on, inevitably by doing that and not just being broad, you end up actually having the possibility to find more of an audience. And that's what's interesting is, like, there are people who latch on to just the idea of that because they're curious about it. And it really, like, all of it is an opportunity to kind of continue the conversation. And you don't need to have those millions of downloads to kind of continue the conversation that has value for the people that are listening. And that's, you know, going to the point that Pete was making, when you are advertising, when you're selling a product, whatever it is, whatever your model is with your podcast, when you have that core group of people who are passionate about what you're talking about, that is how you build that side of the your podcast success.
I want to talk about some of examples from our show of things you can do with small audiences that I think are interesting. We do a show with the Mandy Kaplan and Mandy Fabian. They are writers, actors, directors, comedians, and they're incredibly funny people. It's called The Mand Cave. And mostly they get together and fight. But one of the things that is so interesting about that audience, especially as it was just growing when they started the show some 5 seasons ago, is that they made it a part of their workflow that when people became members through their membership program, right, supporting the show, that they would record a birthday message to that person. You just leave your birthday when you sign up and you get your own custom birthday message, right? That level of engagement is one-to-one. That's something that Joe Rogan isn't going to do, right? And it's something that you don't even have the opportunity to do when you have a giant, giant podcast. But you do when you have a smaller podcast. You do have the bandwidth you can make room to take care of your listeners early on and make them feel valuable and special. And for an entertainment podcast, maybe it is about sending a birthday message and doing a little sort of cameo style video that you send to them. Maybe as you get a little bit bigger, when I look at the ADHD podcast that we produce, Taking Control of the ADHD podcast, that show is larger than The Mand Cave. And our pivot for that show was to take the small audience that we had built early on and move it into our community. And we created a Discord server to bring those people together to talk to one another, whether it is about the show or not, whether it's about their experience with, you know, living with ADHD and solving problems together. That's a thing that a massive audience can sort of take out of control. But when you have a smaller, intimate audience on a show that garners, you know, that one's 6,000 downloads on release day. So it's still a modest size show, but we're still able to manage and engage with folks at a kind of an intimate level. And the value of that small audience is lost as soon as you scale it up much, much larger. So I really try to celebrate the things you can do on a micro level to build affinity between you and your community and your listeners that you just can't do as you get older. Go older.
Yeah.
older. As the show matures, as you get old and weak and frail.
As you get bigger, right?
Right.
Yeah, and it's that engagement and the interaction that you're able to encourage and foster and be part of when your podcasts are that size. And it truly is a wonderful element of it, you know, when you have the opportunity to provide listener feedback, you know, after an episode where people who are members of your show can actually be writing questions and comments as they live stream your show. And then after the show, you can actually have a conversation with them. Like that is, again, to Pete's point, that's something that Joe Rogan couldn't do, but it's something that we get to do. It's like it allows us to kind of have a much more intimate relationship with all of the people who are tuning into the show.
Right, right. I think that if there is a call to action on this particular point, it's to sit down and figure out what you are able to do because your audience is small and growing, and think really creatively about what you're able to do. For the All the Feelings podcast, we have, every season, you know, it's getting harder to do, but when we were particularly small, it was easy to make things like stickers and send them via the mail to, you know, to all of our paying members. You remember mail. As we matured, we started doing more kind of weird stuff. And I think this last season we sent a bingo card for the show that is full of weird things that we've done on the show. And if you're a longtime listener, you get to check off that bingo card, right? And it makes it a fun way to kind of engage with who we are as podcasters. Those kinds of things take a relatively low impact that you do once and you can make use of over the course of an entire season or a year? You know, what are the things, what fits for your podcast as you're thinking about growing your audience? What fits that is going to get people talking online? What fits that's going to get people posting, hey, this podcaster did this weird thing for me and now I have to share it on LinkedIn or TikTok or Instagram. I have to do a reel about this thing that this podcaster did for me that made a difference in my day. That's the goal, right? Is to figure out how you can make someone's day and ideally help them find joy in talking about your show with others.
Yeah, I think that's it. And every show is different. And as Pete was saying, like, find what fits for your show. Your show might not, like having a bingo card that you mail may not fit depending on the type of show you're doing. But certain shows, that's definitely kind of fit the vibe of what the hosts are providing. Other people, it might be, you know, something a little less or just something a little more personal. Who knows? I mean, there's a whole variety of things out there. And even to the point of just having in your community a space where listeners can comment on something that they'd like to hear you discuss and people can vote on it and things like that. Like, those are the sorts of things that you can potentially work to have.
One more interesting stat from Buzzsprout's platform data from this, like 6 months ago. If your podcast has more than 1,000 downloads in the first week, right? So you release a show on Monday. By the time it hits Sunday night, if you've hit 1,000 downloads, you're already in the top 5% of all podcasts. Now, I say that to demonstrate how noisy the market is and to help maybe adjust expectations for what your podcast is going to get. It is great to be able to celebrate when you hit that milestone, 1,000 downloads in the first week, and keep growing for there. But also know that that's rarefied air. And so what are you going to do to celebrate when your podcast has 100 downloads in the first week? How are you going to help those people feel as welcome in your community as, you know, founders? They're your founding audience, and they're as much a part of your team as anybody else.
Yeah, great way of looking at it.
All right. Do you have any other hot news? Is there hot news on the wire? Have you checked the wire? Do we have a wire?
You know, let me go pull the look at the ticker and see what's coming somewhere. Through. No, I don't have any new news.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, we will be back. Thank you so much, everybody, for downloading and listening to this show. We sure appreciate you. And, you know, spread the word. If you get something out of these conversations that we have about podcasting, send this show to another podcaster. We'd love to kind of spread this community a little bit and hear more about what you are doing. You can write us, actually. Here's an email address. shows@truestory.fm. shows@truestory.fm. That's, you can write right there and both Andy and I will get it and tell us your podcasting story. And if there's something you'd like us to talk about, you know, we've been doing this a long time. If there's something you'd like to hear, shows@truestory.fm. We'll do our best to reflect it on an upcoming episode.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Happy podcasting.
See you next time.